Welcome to Spring Creek Church Online. We're so glad that you're joining us today. Today, I want to talk to you about sharing our faith in a broken world. As we get started, let's pray. God, we just thank you for this day that you have given us, Father. We thank you for this sermon series. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to learn, Father, how to speak your word, how to tell our stories of the amazing things that you have done in our lives. Father, we just thank you for every person watching. I pray that you may touch their hearts wherever they are and that they may experience true transformation. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In this sermon series, Let Me Tell You About My Jesus, we are focusing on the vital role of everyday evangelism in all aspects of our lives. So in week one, we spoke about faith in the marketplace and how our work is our mission field filled with broken people. We learned to live out our faith boldly, allowing God to use us as agents of change in our workplaces, in our communities, and beyond. Each of us has a story of what God has done in our lives, and we should be able to tell that story to all those around us. In week two, we spoke about exploring the significance and power of personal testimonies in sharing our faith with non-believers. Our individual stories are unique and serve as powerful tools to showcase the transforming work of God in our lives. In week three, Pastor Jared spoke about how to overcome cultural barriers and engage in meaningful conversations that foster understanding, respect, and unity. We learned practical ways to reach across cultural divides and extending God's love to all people around us. This week, week four, we're talking about how to address the deep needs of individuals, communities, and larger society by offering the transforming love of Jesus Christ in each of our individual contexts. Now more than ever, the global community faces numerous challenges and struggles. And when I say struggles, I mean social injustices, violence and crime, poverty and inequality, and personal brokenness like emotional struggles, broken relationships, and spiritual emptiness. These issues can leave individuals feeling lost, disillusioned, and disconnected from one another. In such a fractured landscape, the role of evangelism becomes increasingly more significant and more important. As we look around us, we witness a world grappling, fighting with challenges in all facets of life. And in the midst of all of that, it is essential to explore the transformative power of evangelism and its potential to bring hope and healing and restoration to individuals and societies. Foundationally, evangelism is the act of sharing and spreading the good news, the message of love, compassion, and redemption of Jesus Christ. It is not just telling people about Jesus. Anybody can tell someone about Jesus, but it's about igniting a spark of transformation within the hearts and the minds of people by showing the transforming power of Jesus. There is hope and redemption in his story. He is the source of healing and restoration, and his sacrificial death provides us freedom from death into eternal life with God. In this broken world, Jesus has the power to bridge the divides, to uplift the oppressed, the underprivileged, the disadvantaged, and to offer comfort to those who are just plain old, tired and worn out. In the face of adversity, evangelism offers a beacon of light, reminding us that even in the darkest of times, there is a path forward. Sharing our story serves as a catalyst for positive change, encouraging individuals to reflect on their values, embrace empathy, and foster a deeper sense of community. By reaching out to others with compassion and understanding, evangelism has the potential to mend broken relationships, to restore trust, and build a more inclusive and harmonious society. See, the beauty of evangelism lies in its ability to meet people exactly where they are, acknowledging their struggles and offering them a glimmer of hope. Whether it be through acts of kindness, sharing personal stories of transformation, or engaging in thoughtful dialogue, evangelism seeks to address the deep-rooted pain, despair, disillusionment that often plagues our world. Today, we have put together a panel that will discuss and explore the challenges and diverse approaches and strategies for effective evangelism in a broken world. Our panelists are diverse in their backgrounds and in their workplace experiences, providing us a different perspective on evangelism. By learning from their experiences, we can tailor our message of hope and redemption to resonate with the unique needs and experiences of those we seek to reach. As we begin this conversation, let us open our hearts and our minds to the possibilities that lie before us. And together, we can illuminate the path towards healing, restoration, and renewal in our broken world. Please welcome our special guest and Pastor Jared.
Well, good morning, everybody. Hey, thank you for tuning in with us this morning. I'm so glad to be back with you guys one more week with Dr. Jess. Thank you for having me back. Hey, this has been a really, really incredible series so far.
It really has.
It has, and I'm excited about it. And this morning, I'm really excited to have some special guests with us. Mm-hmm. And let's take a moment and let them introduce themselves, starting with Josh.
Hello, my name is Joshua Shang. I am currently a behavior technician at Autism Treatment Center.
Katie. And I'm Katie Lewis. I'm an assistant principal in Dallas ISD serving the Pleasant Grove community.
Hi, I'm Shantae Reed, and I'm an executive in inclusion and diversity at a fintech organization.
And I'm Maria, and I work as a training coordinator in a civilian unit at a local police department.
We have an incredible group with us this morning. Thank you guys for being here this morning and for being a part of our panel. And let's kick it off with Dr. Jess. Go ahead.
All right. Well, our first question is going to be for Josh. Because you work with students or children that have special needs, we would just love to get your perspective on this. What do you believe are the key challenges or obstacles in evangelizing to a broken world?
Well, personally for me, I'll start by saying I didn't necessarily grow up in a religious household. So my parents actually had a Quran, but they never forced us to like read it or pressure us for any type of like religious thing. So I didn't start taking my spiritual journey until I got to college. And that's kind of when I dived into the book of God, started reading the Bible. And one of the things that I like kind of picked up on is kind of like leading by example. You know, actions speak louder than words, and I may not be able to like quote scriptures, but just by, you know, leading by example, you know, showing God's love, I'm able to, you know, I guess share it and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gave us a great example the other day about a situation that happened at work and how you were able to demonstrate God's love that way.
Yes. As you mentioned, yes, I do work with kids with learning disabilities. Part of my job, I work with the kids that are more aggressive. So, you know, God is, you know, loving, you know, God is understanding. And there was a time where we were in like a multipurpose room and it was, you know, time for him to leave. He didn't want to leave. And he ended up throwing like 1,000-piece puzzle and, you know, pieces all over the floor. And he's a nonverbal person, so he doesn't really talk. We're trying to work on him, you know, communicating more verbally. But he's more of like he was like flopping on the floor. He was kicking. And in the process of me trying to help him up, he popped me on my mouth and I got braces. So it hurt. I was bleeding. In that moment, you know, most people in that moment, like, you know, they get hit, they get attacked, you know, they see red. But, you know, again, God's understanding, and I have to know, you know, what my purpose is there for, you know, to show them that, you know, healthier way to communicate, you know, and sometimes physical aggression is kind of learned. So I wanted to show them by example, you know, how to give love, you know, how to help and support in a more healthier way. So instead of, you know, retaliating like what most people would expect, I kind of prompted him to say help, so he could then ask for help, so then I could help him with the puzzle. And, you know, he asked for help. I lifted him up, helped him over. He scooped all the puzzles in the pile, and then we kind of just, you know, he cleaned up, and we moved on from there.
Yeah. That's good. That's just such a great example of how, where you couldn't even communicate, right, with words, but with your actions, you were able to show him the love of Christ. And that really is what evangelism is about.
Yeah. And actually, Josh, I want to go back to a part of your story that I think is kind of important to hit on this morning, is about growing up with parents who believe who are Muslim, correct? Mm-hmm. And you coming over to Christianity. Mm-hmm. And how is navigating that relationship with your parents, even today, how do you navigate that?
Honestly, it's tough. It's honestly really hard. I know once I got to college, it was kind of like a fresh start. You know, I kind of got exposed. I'm from North Carolina, or actually born in Jersey, raised in North Carolina. I went to school at the University of Oklahoma. And that's, you know, Oklahoma is known for like, you know, the Christian Belt and stuff. So I was just exposed to a lot of Christianity. And I will say I met my wife. She kind of really helped with my influence because, you know, when we first met, you know, talking to her, she grew up very different than me. She kind of grew up in the Christian household. Her grandfather is a pastor in Muskogee. So she kind of grew up with that kind of structure. And, you know, the more I got to, you know, learn, know her, the more I kind of wanted to know who God was, because she was like, look, I'm not going to mess with you unless you know who God is. So she was like straightforward. And then like in the time, because, you know, we was together, and then we took a moment where she was like, look, you got to figure out, you know, who God is first. And we did break up for like a certain period of time. And during that time was probably like the worst time of my life. I'm a straight A student. My grades dropped. I was getting C's. I messed up my wrist. I got hurt, injured. And then, you know, I started, you know, I picked up a Bible and I started reading. And the more I read, it kind of like captivated me, kind of like sucked me in, essentially. I just, you know, I learned, like, you know, what life is, what light is, you know, what love is. And I realized that we are in a very dark world. You know, it's like my job to, you know, spread the light, spread the love. And I know I may not be able to, you know, quote the scriptures necessarily, but, you know, just me with working with kids that aren't able to speak, I can, you know, show them by example.
That's good.
Yeah. So, Katie, this next question is for you. Not only does Josh work with kids, you work with kids as well in a high school. I'm praying for you daily. And so is everybody who's watching the stream today. We are praying for you because you are, an assistant principal?
Yes.
I don't know how you do it. But I'm sure you encounter parents, mm-hmm. students on a daily basis who come from brokenness, who come from maybe poverty, who come from empty, maybe single parent households or whatever it may be.
Drug addiction.
Oh, man, there's so many different things that you have to encounter in one student or multiple students per day. So my question is, how do you strike a balance between demonstrating God's love and grace while addressing difficult situations and sensitive situations in this broken world in your place of employment?
So it's definitely can be challenging, for sure. I've found, though, that really showing care to people and connecting with them, listening to understand versus just listening to respond, really helps people to feel seen. And when people feel seen, even if the outcomes are unfavorable or not what they wanted, it's much easier for them to manage. In fact, this year, we had a really horrible situation that happened on campus. One of my students got into a physical altercation with an adult. And in this particular situation, the adult was actually in the wrong. But it was such a bad situation that at any point somebody could have walked away from, the student still had consequences. And you can imagine how torn a mom who is struggling so much and working so hard to provide for her child and raise her up to be a good citizen, a good student, all of those things, how torn she's going to feel between, you know, her daughter was provoked and wanting to defend her child, but at the same time, having to, you know, carry alongside her this accountability piece. And as the administrator involved, it was hours, accumulated hours of just sitting with her and talking with her and listening. And while the outcome wasn't, you know, oh, she doesn't have to serve her consequence, she did still have to serve her consequence. When it was time for the student to return to our campus, mom and student both would seek me out on numerous occasions to have help or assistance because they knew even if it was a challenging situation, I was going to listen, I was going to care, and I was going to try my best to work out the situation.
That's healthy.
That's so good because I'm a firm believer in building relationships with people, right? When you build relationships with people, you are able to influence people as well. But I love that you said it took hours and hours and hours. Oof. Because you can't build relationship. If it's a short amount of time, it's a shallow relationship. Mm-hmm. But the deeper and the longer the relationship is, the more influence you have on that person. And it very, very representative of our walk with Christ as well, right? So if we don't spend any time with Christ, then we don't know who he is, right? Mm-hmm. But if we spend lots of time with Christ, then we've built that relationship with us that when he reveals things to us about ourselves, right? Then we're more willing to hear it because we know we spent that time with the Lord.
Yes.
Right? And we built that trusting relationship.
Absolutely.
So I think that's so good that you said that about building relationships, because when we're evangelizing to people, people are more likely to listen to us and trust us when we build a relationship with them first. And
yes,
that's a major part of evangelism. You can't just tell somebody, hey, by the way, you know, you need Jesus. Well,
yeah.
I mean, duh, we all need Jesus, right?
Yeah.
But you're more willing to listen to somebody that I've built a relationship
God,
with.
God, yes.
Because Maria's sweet and she listens to me and she loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she says something to me, even though it might be hurtful because it's truth about myself,
yeah,
I'm like, I'm not blaming her because I know that she's doing it with the love of Christ.
Yeah.
Right? And that's good evangelism.
Yes,
right,
Lord.
That is really allowing ourselves to be used by mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit.
And I think when you spend time with people, you learn their brokenness.
Yes.
You get a chance to learn their brokenness, and then you begin to develop this relationship of trust.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you begin to develop this relationship of trust. Now they will listen and be more receptive to the things that you have to say.
Right.
You know, that's good, Katie. That's good. We're still praying for you.
Yeah.
Still praying for you. Cool. Let's keep going.
Okay, so Jay. So the next question is for Maria. What role does empathy play in evangelism, and how do you effectively connect with and understand struggles and pain of those you are trying to reach?
So empathy is everything. And I think that
yeah,
we're all struggling with something. We all have something that we're dealing with. Life is just hard, and we're either struggling with something now, we were struggling with something last week, last mm-hmm. month, last year,
yeah,
or we're about to go through something. And I think if we can just remember that life is hard and we're all just trying to do our best, and we just meet people where they are,
yeah,
you know, and we be that compassionate person that God is to us. You know, we show grace, we show love, we show mercy the same way that we want to be shown love and grace and mercy when we mess up.
Yeah. That's so good. Mm-hmm. Meet people where they are, right? Because it's true. We're always going through something. We're always going through whatever it might be. And you never know what somebody's going through. So if somebody cuts you off in traffic, maybe their kid is sick in the hospital and they need to get here. We are yelling at them, cussing. Well, I mean, I don't be cussing, but you know, I mean, other people.
We're talking about other people, Dr. J.
You know what I'm saying? But it's true, right? Or
absolutely.
Or the clerk at the store is treating you bad.
Yes.
Or is being disrespectful, and maybe they're just upset because they don't have enough money to pay their rent. You know what I mean? Or you just never know what's happening in people's lives. Or someone's upset and they just had an argument with their spouse. Or they're in the middle of you just never know what people are going through. So I think always having that in the forefront of your mind.
Yes.
Is important to say, man. They're probably going through stuff. You know how I know? Because I'm going through stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And there's things that we'll never talk about to other people.
No, we will not. And I want to go a little deeper with you, Maria. We didn't rehearse this question, but I want to kind of dive into it a little bit. In 2018, my family went through a string of deaths. We lost about 7 people in a matter of, 6 months? And it was one of the hardest times that my family had ever been through. And being a Christian and being a pastor and a preacher, you know, I was called to preach for the 7 funerals. And a lot of people think that evangelism at times is verbal. But I learned during that season that the best evangelism that I needed was people just to be there.
Oh, that's good.
I learned that. Your husband was one of the sweetest people that ever served in this church.
Yes.
You want to talk about somebody who I miss in that lobby every Sunday?
You're going to make me cry.
I'm about to cry.
You're going to make me cry.
What would you say to somebody who may be going through the season you went through earlier this year? What would you say to them? Because Pastor Keith preached about the blessed brokenness of grief.
Yes.
And if you haven't had a chance to go back and catch that series, The Beatitudes, go back and grab it. With evangelism, what would you say that you needed in that season? And the season's still going. How can people minister to those who are in the broken place of grief? What would you say?
Well, I know for me, I'm very blessed because I have such a large community. I have a great family community. I have a great work community. I have this church community that has been here for all of it. You know, y'all were just constantly checking on me whenever you saw me in the lobby and just saying, how you doing today? Yeah. You know, and just the hugs and people knowing that I was going through stuff and knowing that I wasn't 100%, and then just feeling that they were praying for me. I knew that they loved me and I knew that they loved him. Mm-hmm. And just, I know that there are people that don't really know what to say whenever somebody goes through something, you know, even just a, you know, just an acknowledgement, you know, and that's really hard sometimes too. But I had people just come alongside and, you know, what do you need today? Or let me know if you need anything or any of that kind of stuff. But I just had so many people lifting me up in prayer, you know, and husband, I called him husband with a Z, husband's family was just tremendous to me. And they were all suffering that loss too, you know, but they are the most precious people. And we just lifted each other up and we made decisions together that we needed to make together. And we just felt the feels, you know, we said the things that we needed to say, the things that we looked back and thought, you know, we should have seen this or maybe we could have done this. And we were just very intentional about telling each other, don't go there. Yeah. You know, that's not what this is about. Just this happened. It was his time. We know where he is. He's not hurting anymore. He's not taking medicines anymore. He's not having to go to the doctor anymore. So just being available, you know, and if you say, you know, I'm going to call you, call, you know, if you say you're going to pray, pray, you know, but there's no expectation on my side of it. You know, I didn't expect anybody to do anything, but just knowing that, that they knew me, that they knew him and they knew my family, just knowing that they were thinking about us and praying for us, you know, it's just that's just good. Being present.
That's good.
Just being present.
Yeah. Like we needed that during our season, just being present. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you want to share and show somebody the love of Christ, just be present. Like that's good, Maria. Thank you for going there with me. I appreciate it. I appreciate that. I got a chance to preach this past Sunday, and I had a quote by a lady named Verna Myers, and she said, diversity is being asked to the party, but inclusion is being asked to dance.
That's good. That was good.
That was good. Yeah. Like, I want to preach that 13 times.
Yeah.
And so, Shantae, in your role in inclusion and diversity, I want to ask you this question. In a rapidly changing and diverse world, how do you adapt your evangelistic approach to effectively reach different cultures, generations in your scope of work?
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me. I am the oldest here. It's so great to be on the stage with my brother.
Oh, father. Where's our mother?
And it's such a great question. And Verna, let me just say, is an amazing human being who really has a spirit for making sure that individuals in her environment understand the importance of centering individuals. And so I love to be able to see that quote on the screen. And when we talk about how I adapt consistently with this ever-changing world, what's so important for me to just, you know, share first is in my work environment, we talk about this all the time, how much the world is changing and that balance as leaders of how we continue to show up as leaders to support our employees while also reconciling how the impact of the world is having such impact on us.
Wow.
And when we talk about an ever-changing world and how diverse it's becoming, you know, what we're really referring to here is when we were growing up, things probably felt a lot more easier and palatable for things to just land on us and we can kind of brush it off and move forward. We had our community, we had our families to depend on to help us navigate through whatever we were seeing in the world. Today is a little bit different. Like our world is changing in terms of diversity of cultures and experiences and backgrounds and what we're seeing in the world, how much of a greater impact it has on individuals today, where we want to be able to talk about in a way that we perhaps haven't talked about it before. And my approach inside my organization is to continue to center the individual, to make sure that we create a space where people feel heard, where people feel like there's a sense of belonging. And it's a delicate balance with that, because mm-hmm. when you're impacted individually, like in your culture and your identity, and you're like, what's going on in the world? And you're having all these types of experiences within yourself, you have to be reminded of like, I'm having this experience, but that means that someone else may be having the same experience, some form of not feeling heard or understood. And, you know, when you're trying to create that space from an evangelical point of view, it is about creating flexibility to understand what someone is experiencing, to seek to create a space for them to share what their experiences are. You don't have to agree, but to create the space for them to be heard is what's so important. And then at the same time, to respect their cultural beliefs and values and differences, and to make room for that all the time. And, you know, I think as a Christian, I want to continue to show up in a way that is going to make sure that folks feel like they can be heard and seen.
Yes.
That's healthy.
That's good. I love that she said create a space, which tells me that it's intentional. We are intentionally, going out there to reach people, to make sure that we hear them, to make sure that we make them feel comfortable and included in our world. So can you give us some examples of how to do that? Because I know sometimes people can be so different than us. And then do we just ignore it? Do mm-hmm. we say something about it? Like what do we do about that? Like, I met somebody that had met somebody here at Spring Creek that had a child that is has a physical disability. Mm-hmm. And she just addressed it right then and there. She was like, hey, I want to answer some of your questions about this. And I'm thinking, she knew I had questions. Like, you know, and it made me feel comfortable. Like, yeah, I want to know about it. But I didn't know if I should ask or not. Mm.
It's storytelling, right? It's being comfortable being able to share like who you are and what's important to you, and making room for the other person to do the same. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that's a part of the relationship that you hear that we're talking about here. You're making space for a person to show up in their most authentic way and to be in a space where you're willing to hear and to learn something new and different other than what you perhaps have been exposed to before.
I think that's where evangelicals really miss the mark, right? We're so concerned about people being right and right with God, but we're not the judge and jury like that.
That's good.
That's the Lord, right? Yes. And so we are there to love people where they are and let them show up authentically. But we have to do that without condescension, without judgment. Otherwise, there isn't space created.
Wow. Thank you so much for that, Katie. Listen, Pastor Jessica is actually going to wrap up this last question at the podium. So, Pastor Jessica, take it away.
Guys, wasn't that an incredible panel? I hope that you enjoyed that. And for the last question that Pastor Jarrett mentioned, how do you seek unity and cooperation within the body of Christ for greater impact? When we think of the word unity, we think of oneness, we think of agreement, we think consensus, and we think of harmony. The Bible says that those who are truly saved and have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and continue to walk in relationship with Him are considered the body of Christ. And this means that we, the church, are called to be one body in Christ. According to Romans 12, 4 and 5, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. If we are unified as the body of Christ, then our focus is not on our differences, but instead on what we have in common. There are so many differences amongst all the people in the whole world, but what really unites us is greater than anything that could ever separate us. As a group of people who are members of the body of Christ, His church, we are united by His blood, which saves us all. We are united in following Christ as the head of the church. We are united in allowing God to use us to reflect His life in the world. We are united in that we have the Holy Spirit living in us. The same Holy Spirit that is in you is the same Holy Spirit that's in me. We are united in that we share Christ's inheritance, which is God's glory. We are united in that we receive the gift of Christ's righteousness. We are united in our responsibility to share the gospel. We are united in our responsibility to fulfill the Great Commission. We are united in our responsibility to obey the greatest commandment, to love God and love our neighbors. We are also united in the responsibility to prepare ourselves for effective evangelism by cultivating a heart of compassion and empathy, by equipping ourselves with knowledge of the gospel, and by developing relationships built on trust and authenticity. In building those authentic relationships, we must recognize the importance of listening, understanding cultural differences, and respecting the individuality of each person's journey. In the book Evangelism to a Broken World by John Ricky Hughes, he gives us some traits of being successful soul winners for the kingdom. He calls them the B principles. He starts off with, we must be teachable, meaning we don't know it all and we don't have to know it all. We just have to be willing to be lifelong learners. Hughes tells us the root of an unteachable spirit is pride. Proverbs 16:18 tells us, and I love the Message version. It says, first pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. The next one is be open and willing to be led by the Holy Spirit. James 4:6 tells us, as the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Be yourself. There is no one exactly like you. Thank goodness. John the Baptist, a prophet who prepared the way for Jesus, consistently preached repentance and pointed people towards the coming Messiah. He remained true to his calling, even in the face of opposition and eventually being killed for his uncompromising commitment to the truth. Be intentional. Take initiative in sharing your story. Always be on the lookout for an opportunity to share. Be faithful. We know that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is to love your neighbor as you love yourself, meaning we must be faithful to the greatest commandments and to our assignment to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Be real. There's no verse that says it better than 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And it says, the only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. So back to our question, how do you seek unity and cooperation within the body of Christ for greater impact? Through our collective efforts as the body of Christ, we can inspire individuals to embrace their inherent worth, find solace in their faith or beliefs, and become agents of positive change in their communities. Together, we can embark on this exploration of evangelism's transformative potential. Together, we can open our hearts and minds to the possibilities that lie before us. And together, we can illuminate the path towards healing, restoration, and renewal in Jesus in our broken world. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day that you have given us, Lord. I thank you, Father, for giving us the ability, Lord, to speak and to show people your love, Father, and all the amazing things that you have done in our lives, Father, things that we would never comprehend, but we know that you are real because we have experiences with you every single day, that you love us so much, Lord, that you talk to us all day, Father, whether we are sleeping or whether we are awake, Father, you are there, Father. I thank you for being real in my life, Lord. And I thank you for the ability, Lord, to make you real in the lives of all the people around me, Father. I thank you. I pray for strength for myself and for everybody watching, that they would be courageous, Lord, in sharing their stories of you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, I hope that you enjoyed this service, and I hope that you enjoyed this series. Thank you for joining us today. If you have not had a chance to visit us in our new online campus, be sure to check it out at springfieldchurch.org. See you next week.